Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, do you know Mel Pominy and Thalia? Anyone? Not hearing an acclamation. Mel Pominy and Thalia. You might be thinking of Statler and Waldorf, the grumps in the balcony and the Muppet Show. This is different, Mel Pominy and Thalia. Okay, I asked Pastor Hammerston this morning, and in the truest big church pastor fashion, she said, "Mel Pominy and Thalia, I think I'd have to see their faces." She didn't know how perfect her response was, and you'll see why in a moment. In fact, she has seen their faces, and so have all of you. Mel Pominy and Thalia are those grotesque white masks, one frowning, one smiling from the theater, representing tragedy and comedy. Mel Pominy is the frowner and Thalia the smiler. Do you know them now? She knows them. Have you ever thought about the difference between tragedy and comedy? I think sometimes we slip into a little trap, a reductive trap, that tragedy is serious and comedy is silly and funny. But that is not, in fact, the essential, necessary difference between the two. There can be humor in a tragic story, and there can be pain and depth and earnestness in a comedy. Have you ever seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles? Did you cry at the end? Of course, that's a comedy. So if that's not the essential difference, if the essential difference is not the stuff that happens along the way, it must be how the stories end. And in fact, that's the case. In simplest terms, a tragedy is a story with an unhappy ending. A comedy is a story with a happy ending. Tragedy, in the end, is about loss, and comedy about triumph. Mel Pominy and Thalia. They can help us understand our faith in surprising ways, and they can help us think about this major, major question. Does everything happen for a reason? The idea that everything happens for a reason is probably the most common theological conviction among Christians in America today, easily crossing geographical, denominational, political boundaries. In my work with the young people of this church, it comes up over and over as one of their most deeply and sincerely held beliefs. Frequently, I hear it after someone has suffered a loss or endured great pain when it can sound like this: "This is all part of God's plan." I'm sure you've heard that too. Perhaps you've said it. And I get it. I get the sentiment. I get the appeal. It is so hard to know what to say in the face of tragedy. And anything that might help us transform it into a comedy, it seems so desirable. If you're squirming right now, thinking your pastor is about to give you a theological scolding and tear up this note you've been passing, be not afraid. I just want to edit the note a little bit before you pass it on again. Because guess what? That basic urge to recoil from tragedy and turn to comedy, that's not only natural, that's not only understandable, it's right. It's good theology. We as Christians are Team Thalia all the way. Kick rocks, Mel Pominy, and we are selling that t-shirt in the narthex after worship. We do trust and confess that we live in a story that ultimately has a happy ending. We are Easter people. But here's my concern. I'm worried that everything happens for a reason ignores or diminishes or skips too quickly past the reality of the thing that actually happened. We know that there is a time and season for every matter under heaven, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So, when we jump right to everything happens for a reason, are we denying ourselves and our neighbors the proper time, the time we need to weep and to mourn? Everything happens for a reason. On some level, asks us to choose between tragedy and comedy. Which happened to you? Which story are you a part of? Our faith allows us to embrace both. We can trust that we live in a story with a happy ending, without trivializing the sadness we experience along the way, which is real and profound. Even worse, I worry that this sentiment somehow implies that the hardships we experience might in fact be purposeful. Not just not tragic, but intentional, inflicted, necessary parts of God's happily ever after for you. And what consolation is that, really? What reason, what explanation, what justification could even God give a parent who buries their child? How could that ever satisfy? How could that strengthen trust in God? How could that build faith? How could it be good news that God did this on purpose? This morning, I say to you that your pain is not Christ's way of drawing you close to Him. Christ is always close to you, even in the valley of the shadow of death. That is the promise that was made to you in your baptisms, and God will not break it. It will not be voided, not even by the depths of the greatest tragedy. Neither pain, nor loss, nor fear, nor sadness can separate you from the love of God in Christ. And that is good news. That is what we have to share. But, I understand, it's not catchy. Everything happens for a reason is so catchy. Whoever came up with that is great at marketing. How can we make our thing catchy? I'll work on it. In the story we heard this morning, the prophet Jeremiah is writing to the people of Judah, God's chosen people, in their exile, in their captivity, in the neighboring big bad kingdom of Babylon presided over by King Nebuchadnezzar. That's a very hard sentence to preach without looking at the notes. Babylon hasn't yet come back to finish the job, but they will very soon. They're going to destroy Jerusalem. They're going to demolish the sacred temple. And yet, there are all these would-be prophets milling around, looking as hard as they can for the silver lining. And I don't blame them. They have good motive. They are bolstering the spirits of this captured people. They are encouraging them. This will all be over soon. We'll be home again, and God will use all this to make us greater and stronger than we've been. Everything happens for a reason. But Jeremiah says, no. Settle in. Your captivity is not nearly done. Build houses. Plant gardens. Get married and have babies and grandbabies. In exile, in Babylon. God is telling the people, you can be fruitful and multiply even here. Even here, my blessings will continue and my promises will be good. Even after 70 years, generation after generation after generation, I will remember you and I will restore you. No amount of violence and disruption can frustrate my eternal plan for you. Nothing can take away your future with me. This story, Jeremiah's prophetic word, is not about what happens after tragedy that somehow retroactively makes the tragedy not tragic after all, but purposeful. No. This story is about the abiding faithfulness of God. That even in the midst of tragedy, God is still present in your life. You are still a part of God's hopeful future. And the promises God made to you still apply to you. It's not quite catchy yet, but it's pretty good. Maybe the next time you find yourselves in one of these moments in life, and they will come again, you could say, it's not that everything happens for a reason. It's that no matter what happens, no matter where you find yourself, God is with you. Amen.